We come again to you with studies in the Gospel through John, and we are in chapter 3. We just trust that every one of you who are listening in will take the time to read the Gospel through John, possibly at one sitting if you can. In this way you get a full scope of a book. And then as we take it up in detail, it'll come to you with a freshness and with a joy and with an illumination that possibly you didn't expect to have. For the Spirit of God will be able to take the Word of God and make it real to you. And this is what we want. We want you to see our Savior set forth in this Gospel through John as one who is a real Savior, but he's also really the Son of God. And he has proved this all down through the book. And we're in chapter 3 where you have Christ Jesus revealed as the Savior. And we're dealing with the teaching that he gave to Nicodemus on the new birth. Now Nicodemus was the one who was really wanting the truth. And he came to Jesus by night to counsel with him. And he made the declaration that Jesus Christ was a teacher come from God. For no man could do the miracles that Jesus did except God was with him. And the amazing answer of our Lord to that statement was, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, what's the matter with you? You're born wrong. All of us are born wrong. Now remember, he's not talking to a man from the gutter. He's talking to a moralist, a religionist, a teacher in Israel. I take it that Nicodemus was a very, very fine man, morally, religiously, and so on, one of the leaders of the nation. And Jesus said a surprising thing. You must be born again before you can see the kingdom of God. That's why Nicodemus came along and said, "Why, you're asking the impossible. Can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born? Why, the impossibility." And the Lord Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And I was speaking in our last lesson of the fact that the need for the new birth in the first three verses is universal. You say, well, the man in Africa needs it, or the man in South America needs it, the man in the gutter needs it. No, my friend, all of us need it, you and me and everybody else. We're born wrong. Our condition, man's condition, demands a new birth. You can't patch up the old thing. It's beyond patching, my friend. You can't patch up the old thing. God will not deal in patches. God either makes you entirely new or judges you. One or the other. Thank God he has made the provision whereby he can transform us. But I was speaking of the fact that man was born in sin. There was none righteous, no, not one. You can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean, so on. There must be a change. A change is indispensable if we are to see or enter into the kingdom of God. It's got to be a radical change. That's why we said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. That's why in John 1, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but are born of God. Now we come down to the method of the new birth. How in the world is this going to take place? We've heard, and I'm sure you've heard, a lot of messages on the new birth. And before we get through the chapter, we're going to find that the Lord goes right down and answers all your questions. Now, first of all, man's condition demands it. The holy character of God demands it. The nature of it demands a new birth. Now, what's the method of it? 4-13. Or the way of the new birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus said to him, "Are you a master? Are you a teacher in Israel? And don't you know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know. We testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now let me go back. How can a man be born when he is old? Is the question raised by Nicodemus. The answer is verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then from verse 6 down to verse 13, you have our Lord saying some things to Nicodemus. Nicodemus should have known better. He was a teacher in Israel, and he should know. As we'll come to that a little later. But now we come down to verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I know this verse has been taught different ways, but allow me to say this. He's answering the question, how can a man be born again? You must be born of water. You must be born of the Spirit. Now, remember the word here, and allow me to be a little technical. The word here is not baptized. It does not say, except a man be baptized with water and with the Spirit. It's to be born. Same word used, the word begat, for example, in James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. Same word used in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And when he talks about being born of the water, he's not talking about water, a rite of baptism. He's talking about something far more important than that. He's dealing with the way, how can you be born again? You're born of water, to be born of the Spirit. Now, it's very obvious that quite often in the New Testament, this word water, to be born of water, is used of the Word of God. For example, Jesus could say in John 15:3, you're clean, you're cleansed, you're washed by the Word which I have spoken unto you. In Ephesians 5:26, I read, that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water by the Word. Allow me to quote these other two verses which I did a while ago. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us. Same word, to be born. He begat he us by the word of truth. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:17 said, the Lord sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Now, he's not saying then to the Corinthian church that he did not believe in baptism. But indeed, they were just going to the other extreme. Some said, I was baptized, I'm following Peter. I'm following Apollos, I'm following Paul. Were you baptized in the name of Peter? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Jesus? Thank God I baptized none of you, save Gaius and Stephanas and somebody else. For the Lord sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To be born again, my friend, is an act of God. And when you and I take the word of God and believe it and act upon it, we're born of the word of God. You take the Spirit of God, you're to be born of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, the first verse, the question is raised at the end of chapter 4 of the Epistle of John, who are my brothers? He that loveth God loveth his brothers also. But who are my brothers? He that confesseth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is an act of the Spirit of God upon the Word of God. Again, you have it in John 1, 12 and 13, who are born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but who are born of God. You see, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. How can I be born again, you say? The Spirit of God uses the Word of God through you into your heart. You read, for example, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You hear something about the Savior, that he died for you to put away your sins. He was raised again from the dead. And this is the story. This is the Word of God. And I believe it. And it becomes a living reality by the Spirit of God making that Word real in my life and in your life. You see, the Word of God without the Spirit leads to rationalism. To talk about the Spirit of God without the Word of God leads to fanaticism. I'm going to repeat that statement. The Word of God without the Spirit of God leads to rationalism. There are men who study the Bible who have never known the Savior. And they become rationalists, liberals, whatever you want to call them. And then there are others who revel in some experience of the Spirit of God, but they don't base it upon the Word of God, and that leads to fanaticism. So a man or a person must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Allow me to quote from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 5. The Apostle Paul said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven." I'm quoting the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5. Then I went down to verses 9 and 10. The Spirit of God using the Word of God through the child of God. How are you saved, my friend? Same way, the Spirit of God used the Word of God through one of his children. Jesus left us to be witnesses to the world. We witness of the Savior, and as people hear of the Savior and see their need of being saved, then the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes it a living reality in their life. They become born of the Word. They become born of the Spirit. Now, may I suggest, this is followed by the ignorance of Nicodemus. And I won't spend much time on this. Nicodemus should have known better. When the Lord says, "Are you a master of Israel? And don't you know these things?" You ought to have known it. Jeremiah chapter 31. Ezekiel chapter 11 informs us of this very thing, where God said in that day, and when he returns to the earth, he's going to take from the Jewish people that stony heart, and he's going to give them a heart of flesh. He's going to write on their hearts his word. You take the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10, talks again about the same thing. "No man shall say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the eldest down to the youngest." What do you mean? God is going to quicken his word in the hearts of his people. I don't want to go into that aspect of truth except to point it out. Nicodemus should have known better, because both Jeremiah and Ezekiel had prophesied the time would come when God would take away the stony hearts and he would write on their hearts of flesh his laws, his word, and they would be obedient. Now, the next question I raise is how to be born again. The way of the new birth, to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, how do I receive it? Verses 14 to 17. How to receive the new birth? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he's talking about how to receive the new birth. Now, let me pick up the whole broad picture. Nicodemus, you're born wrong, except you're born of water and of the Spirit. Except you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Well, what is the new way, the way to be born again? You've got to be born of water, you've got to be born of the Spirit. But how has this happened? Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes it a living reality. Now he tells us how to receive the new birth. And John 3:16, by the way, is the answer to Nicodemus on how he can be born again. I think most Christians all love John 3:16, but oftentimes they don't realize the context. John 3:16 is given to us to answer the question, how does it work? By putting your trust, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just you have, you remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when Paul said to the Philippian jailer, the Philippian jailer asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul quickly answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, it's this contact, this relationship to Jesus Christ that gives life. Allow me again to quote that verse from 1 John 5:1. Do you remember it? "Who is my brother? Everyone who confesseth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Being born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he goes on to speak that the life of man is like the grass of the field, the glory of man is as the flower of grass, the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of our God abideth forever, and it's by this word the gospel has been proclaimed unto us. Now notice now what he does. Here's the process. Notice the Lord gave a threefold answer in verses 14 through 17. First of all, how to be born again. Substitution plus faith. And he quotes from Numbers chapter 21, where he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You remember that the people of Israel had been smitten with vipers, with poisonous snakes, and much people of Israel died. And in their desperation, they appealed to Moses, and Moses came to God. And God said, you make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And everyone who has been smitten with the poison of the adders, if they just look, they'll live. That's all. Not to crawl or to try and make their way to the cross. No, they had to just look and live. We sometimes used to sing that, "Look and live, my brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's reported in his word, hallelujah, it's only as you look and live." That's a quotation from Numbers chapter 21, verses 7 to 9. So when you have in verses 14 and 15, substitution plus faith. Christ is our substitute. Now remember, the children of Israel didn't work. They didn't go through any ceremonies. They didn't join anything. All they did was to look and live. Now Jesus said this. Jesus was the one who gave them this illustration to Nicodemus. How can I be born of water? How can I be born of the Spirit? How can I be born again? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, everyone who looked lived. And it says in verse 15, our Lord applied it, "Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, lifted up between heaven and earth. And he took your place and he took my place. He bore your sin, he bore my sin. How can I be free of my sin? How can I be made a new creature in Christ? How can I be born again into the family of God? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen what he said. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, he's saying that to you today. If you will put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I'll guarantee to you, you'll pass from death to life. You'll be born of the Spirit of God. You'll be born of the Word of God. You'll become a child of the living God and fitted for God's presence. May God grant to you today that you might be numbered among those who are born again from the dead. The Lord bless you today for his name's sake.